Kaveripatinam, India, 509 BC. Sahadeva held the porcelain plate and pretended to examine it as he scanned the marketplace behind him. His heart, already beating quickly, nearly exploded when he spotted the pursuers.
They're still there, Sahadeva.
Sahadeva could feel Jyotsna trembling at his side. The marketplace offered untold terrors for her. She'd never been in a place so big or so filled with people. Knowing that they had enemies nearby only made things worse. Carefully, so he wouldn't incur the ire of the merchant, Sahadeva replaced the plate on the stack. The merchant hadn't even attempted to haggle with them. Sahadeva's worn and dirty clothing warned all of the shopkeepers and traders that he lacked money. Sahadeva took Jyotsna's hand and led her toward the alley at the far side of the market. He touched the curved knife in the sash at his waist. He'd never killed a man before. He didn't even like slaughtering the goats to put on the family table, but he knew he would kill the men who pursued them in order to protect Jyotsna. She looked like a child next to him. The top of her head barely came to his shoulder. Even draped in a loose, dark blue sari, anyone could see that she had a woman's curves. Sahadeva had worried her beauty might bring trouble to them in the city. A plain dupatta covered her head and held her thick black hair out of her face. Sahadeva was young and slim. All of his life he'd been a goatherd. Nearly a year ago, when he'd turned 17, he'd run away from home to join a group of young men who'd decided to take a boat up the Vaigai River. Legends of gold and silver, of lost fortunes and fantastic monsters had beckoned. 3 days into the journey, he'd been frightened and doubtful despite the stories of adventure. 9 days later, just when they'd been about to exhaust their stores and forced to return home empty-handed, he'd seen Jyotsna and fallen in love with her. She'd wanted to see the big world he described. Her father had denied that to her, as he had denied it to all his people. Only the warriors had ventured outside the cave city to get food. Occasionally, they brought brides and grooms back into their secret village. Those brides and grooms, he'd discovered, had only been allowed to live there for a short time. Outsiders were put to death once the children were planted. Sahadeva had seen monstrous things among Jyotsna's people. There was no sign of anyone who had come from outside their enclave to live among them. Jyotsna had captured Sahadeva's heart, and she had been equally drawn to him. Unable to bear the thought of his death, she had warned him of the coming assassinations. Sahadeva talked her into running away with him, and they fled. Now all of his friends were dead. Jyotsna's father's warriors had killed them mercilessly. Only luck and his knowledge of the terrain along the Vaigai had prevented Sahadeva and Jyotsna from being overtaken. But those pursuers were here now. Even in Kaveripatinam, as large as it was and open to trade around the world, wasn't enough to hide them. The buildings flanking the alley blocked some of the heat of the mid-morning sun in the narrow expanse. By noon, Sahadeva knew the stones beneath his calloused feet would be blistering. At the other end of the alley, he saw the harbor spread out before him. Tall Roman galleys sat in the water. There were more vessels, obviously from other countries. Since he'd been a boy and his father had first allowed him to help drive goats to market, Sahadeva had loved the sea. The sailors with their stories of foreign lands and exotic sights had filled his head. When he'd talked to his father about such things, his father had told him to quit wasting his time daydreaming. He'd said a goatherd would never have enough money to buy a ship, and taking passage on one as a sailor was nothing short of slavery. Sahadeva approached a man arranging a cart filled with woven baskets.
Sir, I'm looking for Harshad the jeweler.
Harshad shop is in the next street, on the right.
Thank you.
The crowd was thinner on the docks. He didn't think the men who pursued them would do anything here, but there were no guarantees. They were desperate men. After all, he'd taken more than Jyotsna when he'd left their city. A burly man stood guard at the jeweler's door. He looked half asleep, but the sword through his sash was sharp and nicked from use. Scars showed on his thick arms.
There is no begging allowed in this shop.
I am no beggar.
You're wearing a beggar's rags, boy. And I wouldn't pull out that knife unless you're ready to die.
I've got business with Harshad.
Sahadeva reached inside his shirt and took out a small oilskin pouch. Another oilskin bag was hidden inside the pack he carried, but thieves wouldn't have wanted it. Still, he never left it unattended. Sunlight glinted off the gold and gems inside the bag.
I have merchandise for sale.
Sahadeva, what have you done?
I did what I had to so that we could be together.
Sahadeva felt torn. He didn't have time to explain. Jyotsna had always lived within her father's village. She had no idea what the real world was like, or what it took to live in it.
Send a boy in here.
Go.
Sahadeva moved forward. He had to pull on Jyotsna's arm twice to get her to follow him. Inside, a thin man with graying hair and beard stood behind a counter. He wore a white tunic. Earrings, rings, necklaces, hairbands, and gold and silver bangles hung from pegs on the wall behind him. Jewels sparkled in settings in some of them. Harshad smiled.
Welcome. What may I do for you?
Sahadeva freed his arm from Jyotsna. He placed the oilskin pouch on the counter. The jeweler spread the bag's contents across the counter. 5 rings, 2 bracelets, and a loose collection of gems spread between them. Harshad looked at the jewelry with marked interest.
I want to trade these for gold coins.
These are a very unusual design. Where did you get them?
I found them. They were in the Vaigai River.
Where in the Vaigai?
There isn't any more there.
Maybe you just didn't look close enough.
Then I'll go back and look again.
You've been most fortunate, it seems.
How much?
Are you in a hurry?
No.
I could look at these and give you an offer tomorrow.
By that time, I could get offers from other jewelers. I was told I could get a fair price from you.
Wandering around the city could be dangerous.
The ships are in. I want passage on one of them. Perhaps I can strike a deal with a captain who would trust his instinct for jewelry.
Wait. I'm only going to do this because you look like a good boy. Although, some might question if you really got these things from the river. Come with me. Just you, boy. Back here. I only deal one-on-one.
Stay here, Jyotsna.
Don't leave me.
It'll only be for a moment. You'll be safe. I'll be right back, I promise.
Sit. Sit.
Sahadeva waved away the thick white smoke given off by the incense. The smoke made it hard to breathe, and he immediately felt lightheaded.
Let me again examine what you have. You found these in the Vaigai River, you say?
Yes.
Some soothsayers still insist there is a secret city with impossible wealth located there.
I wouldn't know about that.
It is supposed to be a city of Nagas, half men, half snakes. Have you ever seen such a thing?
No.
They lived on an island, it said. Then the monsoon season brought a wave that broke their island and drove them inland. They tried to live on the mainland, but they worshipped snakes and practiced bloodthirsty rituals. No one would suffer them to live there, so they fled upriver. Do you think these things came from that city?
No.
Why not?
No one has ever proved that city ever existed.
Still, there is usually some kernel of truth in those old legends. I've even been told that the things that have been found from the Naga city are cursed.
Cursed?
Just what I've been told. They say that the Naga spirits follow anything that was taken from their city. They find them and bring them back after killing those who stole them. Do you believe in curses?
I don't know.
Well, it's better to keep an open mind, perhaps. When you've lived as many years as I have, you'll learn the wise men don't have all the answers. Now, we must discuss what these are worth to you.
10 gold pieces.
10, eh? I'd say no more than 6, at best.
10 gold pieces. Well?
One condition. If these things are indeed cursed, I expect you to take them back. Is this understood?
It's a deal.
I will return with your gold.
Sahadeva felt his head grow heavier. When he turned to look at the window high on the wall, his senses whirled. He realized the colors seemed brighter than normal, and the world around him was becoming muffled. Something was wrong. He tried to stand, but his legs were almost too weak to hold his weight. He tried to sweep the jewelry and gems into the pouch again, but failed, sending them across the table and the floor. A cloud of smoke suddenly burst inside the room. Startled, Sahadeva braced himself back against his seat. Incredulous, Sahadeva watched as a figure took shape. The head and shoulders of a beautiful woman appeared first. Jeweled combs pinned her thick black hair atop her head. Her garments barely covered her modesty, like the garments Jyotsna's people wore. She stood high-breasted and proud. She peered at him with the slit-irised eyes of a cat. Crimson lips parted to reveal sharp teeth. Her forked tongue slithered out to test the air. As she moved toward Sahadeva, she rocked from side to side. Her lower half was hidden from sight by the smoke for a moment. When he saw the serpentine body that began at her waist, his eyes grew wide. From her midriff down, the woman was a snake. Glittering blue-green scales twisted as she moved. Black and red scales created a hard-edged pattern. Sahadeva woke to a pounding pain in his head. He felt dizzy, as if the world were shifting beneath him. He opened his eyes and discovered the reason for the movement. He was in a ship's hold. The light from a candle on a mounted sconce barely penetrated the gloom. He lay in the middle of a pool of vomit that he realized was his own. It had smeared on his clothing and made the fabric stiff. Iron manacles bound his legs to a ring set in the floor. Where was Jyotsna? The question drove him to his feet in spite of the pain and sickness coiled in his belly.
Izina.
Sahadeva tracked the voice and saw a man in his middle years sitting hunched against the wall. Nine others sat with him.
Who are you? What is this ship?
I am a slave like you. My name is Orjit.
I'm not a slave.
You lie on your own filth aboard a ship that you didn't book passage on. You're a slave. When the captain has outrun the storm, they'll bring us up and start making sailors of us.
You lie.
I'm afraid what I say is true. All of us were taken in Kaveri Patanam. The ship's captains do this when they need crew, and no one is willing to sign on. Lives are cheap in the city. Doubtless you were sold into captivity by someone who profited in the loss of your freedom.
Sahadeva slumped in disbelief. His first thoughts were of Jyotsna. He'd brought her to the city and told her he could take care of her. He nearly wept when he thought of the horrors he had doubtlessly left her to face.
Are you a soothsayer? The book you carried, the book in your pack. I thought if you could read, you were a soothsayer.
Sahadeva couldn't believe the pack had been left with him. He doubted the other gems and jewelry remained. He searched the bag and found he was correct. But the book lay there.
Doubtless they couldn't find anything in it worth stealing. Slavers aren't readers.
Sahadeva picked up the book and examined it. He'd stolen it from the treasure room in Jyotsna's village. He knew wise men and kings often paid handsomely for such things. It was a thick rectangle covered in some kind of hide. Sahadeva thought it was snakeskin, but he wasn't sure. He felt the binding and made sure the thing he'd hidden there remained. He'd kept that from Harshad. Sahadeva had intended to use it to buy a business for himself whenever they got to where they were going. Even though it remained, Sahadeva knew that the future he'd planned was gone. He replaced the book in its protective oilskin and shoved it under his shirt.
Are you a wise man?
No.
Pity. I think it would be good to have the ears of the gods in this storm.